This is the 77 WABC minicast.
We have Thomas Kniff on to find out what the heck is going on with that Marine that rescued that woman in the subway.
Yeah, the hero Marine, Daniel Penny. Thomas, give us the update, because I saw that there's been some filings to, and your part, to dismiss the case. Where's it stand, and give us the latest?
Yeah, the latest. Hey, Rita. Hey, John. Yeah, the latest is we're doing the yeoman's work that no one ever talks about in the newspaper.
You talk about it on WABC.
Yeah, you know how much. I'm telling you, there are. I always say this, I wish there were Daniel Pennies every time I've been on the subway.
Yeah, everyone watches these 30-minute legal dramas and waits for the case to get wrapped up in a week. But, you know, the reality is, for all those glamorous moments in the courtroom, you spend, 100, more hours writing and researching and so forth. So Stephen Razor and I and our team, we've submitted about a 60-page motion a few weeks ago to, among other things, dismiss the indictment. The DA replied a couple of weeks ago, and we're putting in our reply to their reply, and we're supposed to be back in court on December 6th.
One of the things you brought up, and I saw in one of your filings, and I think it's an interesting point, is that that many of the people there were obviously felt terrorized by the situation and were thankful that there was a Daniel Penny, and just the amount of crime that's happening on New York City subways. Can you kind of explain how you use that as the basis
We were overwhelmed, Rita, because remember, a lot of people don't realize the defense is not in the grand jury. The grand jury is the district attorney's sandbox, which is why it's so easy for them to get an indictment in almost every case they present. So it's not until we get into the discovery phase that we got, 550 pages of the transcript of the grand jury testimony. And, we knew a lot of it was going to be favorable, but we could not have predicted how overwhelmingly favorable it was. I mean, there are people that testified. I mean, one person said they'd been riding the subway for 30 years. A female said she had been personally accosted on the subway through the years, but was never so deathly afraid as when those doors closed and she heard Neely open his mouth and start threatening people. And she wasn't the only one. I mean, there's about a dozen people that echoed similar sentiments. So we were just blown away. And a lot of that, as you pointed out, is what we incorporated into our motion.
So were there more eyewitnesses to have more come forward to also validate the Marines' claims?
So many have come forward. What happened was we have a team of investigators that are very good. But in the grand jury stage, we don't have access to any discovery. So we really had to, we were flying blind. What happened was the case had gotten so much press attention, and on a lot of the press, stories about it, they put up a number that if you have information, contact the district attorney's office, contact law enforcement. And many people did. I think it was about a dozen people that were on the subway train. And again, I mean, they were just overwhelmingly saying that grateful our client intervened, scared. One mother was on the train, and she testified in front of the grand jury that she was with her son, and they used the son's stroller to barricade themselves for her to try to protect her son from Neely, take him out of the stroller and hide behind the stroller. I mean, that is the sort of, the thing that the grand jury witnesses testified to.
Tom, it's Richard Weinberg. Good to talk to you again.
Judge, how are you?
Good. So if I recall the law correctly, there's a justification when you're protecting other people against this serious physical harm, isn't there?
Well, absolutely, it's a justification, and not to get too wonky on the listeners, but an important thing to point out is once a justification or self-defense is commonly referred to, defense is raised, the prosecution has to affirmatively disprove it beyond a reasonable doubt. It's not for the defense to prove, at least in New York, that the defendant was justified. The prosecution has to prove that they weren't justified. And again, because the eyewitnesses' accounts are so overwhelming in this case, I don't see how they could possibly do that, but, time will tell.
Tom, this is Pete King. Listening to you and I follow the case, there's like any number of available defenses here, and it's beyond me how a district attorney could have indicted him. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but to me, this seems like this was all cooked before the grand jury even met. I mean, everything you're saying, if I understand, is exactly accurate, and any one of those would be a defense against this, and why there should have been no true bill.
Yeah, I agree, Congressman. It's very hard to understand, why the grand jury would have indicted this case. However, you know, it goes back to what, you know, the former Chief Judge Wachler said. Right. It's so often quoted, it's a cliche at this point, but you know, you can indict a ham sandwich. I mean, the grand jury is so one-sided that, you know, but for the fact that it's in the Constitution, you almost scratch your head and say, why do we even have them?
Yeah, I was pointing more at the prosecutor than the grand jury. I mean, you know, they're they're being led by the DA, obviously.
Now, one of the things
that gets down to the presentation. You know, in other words, why even put this case into the grand jury?
Now, one of the things that I saw, Tom, though, on the other side, I saw the defense file a motion saying, well, you know, because he's a trained military guy, he should have known.
You mean the prosecution?
I mean, the prosecution, forgive me, a prosecution saying that because he was a trained military guy, that he should have known that the chokehold was, you know, was a dangerous position. How are you going to counter that? I mean, how else are you going to stop somebody? Well, what are you supposed to say, hey, please stop?
Yeah, you know, it's been countered already, because then the reality is that, you know, Danny's trainer, the guy who trained him in the Marine Corps, testified in the grand jury and told and said this was not a chokehold. This is a restraint move. First of all, a chokehold is taught in the Marines as a non-lethal device. It is a non-lethal restraint device. And if someone is in a chokehold, 8 to 13 seconds, they're unconscious. It's without question. Once the carotid arteries are depressed, no one could have maintained consciousness can maintain consciousness more than 8 to 13 seconds. So we just know by virtue of the length of this encounter that there is no way that my client was applying pressure to Neely's neck, or certainly not for any length of time. And that also is corroborated by the eyewitnesses on the train. Multiple eyewitnesses say, look, you know, he wasn't squeezing. He was had his arm around his chest. He was just holding him. Neely kept resisting. You know, so again, I mean, it's all overwhelming.
The other thing I also think about also, and everybody, we're talking to the attorney for Daniel Penny, the Marine, the subway Marine, for an update. But Thomas, you know, the other thing I think about, too, is that it also shows him saying, hey, let's call 911, get the police, you know, other people help me. So it's not his actions don't belie somebody who was trying
and
to.
And other people are holding him as well. Isn't that right, Tom?
Right.
Yeah, listen, two other passengers felt compelled to get involved because even with my client doing what he was doing, it was not enough to contain this guy.
In racial terms, one of those people holding was also African-American, right? They're trying to make this a racial crime.
At least one of which is a person of color.
Right.
Another individual was a European national who, you know, after this, I was here on vacation or something and went back to Europe and wasn't interested in coming back for obvious reasons. And many of the eyewitnesses, you know, in fact, the woman I quoted before, the 30-year, you know, she was in her 60s, 30-year subway passenger, herself had been victimized on the train, never so scared in her life. She's an African-American woman. She stayed on the platform after minutes later to thank my client and provided her information
wow.
to the police
wow.
saying, you know, if you need anything, I'll tell you what happened here. She was so grateful for what my client did. And she did testify in front of the grand jury and repeated exactly that. So
Tom Kniff, thank you so much for calling in today.
Yeah, keep us posted.
Great job, Tom.
And we'll talk. We have to go to a hard break, but we'll talk again real soon.
All right. Always a pleasure, guys. Be well.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.